outside, not everyday work.
Amen.
This ain't four wall thing. I'd like to say this before I start off or said something this morning, that I can understand and understand real well that he said he even so much he started to stay at home this morning keeping preaching that. I can understand that, but I'm going to say it and say a big amen to every word of it.
Amen.
And me and my wife was talking, and I'm just going to be honest with y'all. Me and my wife was talking when we left the house. Whenever I first started coming back, you had her left Black Oak. What, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. Y'all could not have stood the preaching that Oscar preached this morning. Now, you think on that. But little by degree, I passed out them CDs to y'all, and y'all begin to listen. Me and my wife has talked about this, and y'all would listen to them and hear other preachers are preaching, and I sit here with my own two eyes and watch you grow. And you think that ain't a blessing to me, people? Way off, never been here. They ask me about y'all, and I tell them they're growing. They're growing. And that's what we, when we cease to grow, we'll start shrinking.
Amen.
But to get back to what Oscar said, he started to stay at home. I've got it at the house on a CD and almost ashamed to make a copy of it and give it to anybody. Try to keep it hid, afraid somebody might want one of it. But in 2004, up in Hodgensville, Kentucky, Brother Bilby's camp meeting one night, and the service was over, he come by and slammed me with his elbow, said, "You be ready to preach in the morning." And I went home, went back over to the motel, and I laid down just as clear-minded as could be. Done right after I laid down, God laid a thought on my mind. I rolled that bed all night and cried. And I even thought so much, if when I get up in the morning, Oscar, I'll just load all my stuff up. And I'll get in that van and I'll go to the house. I will not preach that. And I got up the next morning with the very intent, Mike, of loading up my stuff and coming to the house. And God spoke to my heart just as plain as he could speak. 300-something miles, he said, there's a lot of whales between here and your house. And them whales he talking about, Interstate 65 going up the western part of the state, or that it is continuously tractors and trailers, tractors and trailers, tractors and trailers. God said there's a lot of whales between here and home. That put a fear in me. And I figured I might ought to face the crowd more so than I would to face them whales. But I remember going back over to a camp meeting, and I tried every way in the world to get out of preaching it, but my wife tell you the same thing. That building was a big old building. It was packed out. First time in my life I ever got a standing ovation while I was a preacher. But everybody, I reckon, in the house stood while I was preaching, and more they'd stand and say amen, I reckon the tighter I got. And I ain't bragging on me, I'm just talking about what the Lord done. I preached on what a mess, over in Deuteronomy chapter number 22, and long about verse 7 or 8, something like that right there, he says, "Sow not your field with divers seed, unless the seed be defiled and the fruit." And I preached on what a mess. And I like Oscar this morning. I come all the way from the ground, plumb to the top of our head before I got through. Then I got to where I wanted right there then, Brother Oscar, to crawl under the carpet when I turned it back to Brother Bilby. And all the years that I went up there, I've never seen him do it before. And I've never seen him do it again. When I turned it back to him, Star Ball, he'd bust everything to get back over here. He said, I want you to stand right here in front of this mourner's bench, and I want everybody in this house to come around and shake hands with you. You might think that's a joy for a preacher to have to preach like Brother Oscar preaches. He'll go home with it tonight. I preach him. I know he'll tell you all next week. It'll be on his mind. But you know what God calls a man to do that way? It's because he loves his people.
Amen.
And he said plain as he could to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort.
Right.
If they're doing wrong, reprove them. Then he said to rebuke them if they wouldn't listen to the reproof. Then after you reprove them and rebuke them, turn around and exhort them to do what's right. That's what preaching for. It's not, hey man, to see if I can out-preach Oscar out-preach me, or make you feel better or worse. It is for our own good.
Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah, the Bible said, told Isaiah, he said, open thy voice, sound thy voice like a trumpet, cry loud. He didn't say stand there and tell jokes and talk about how I want to go to a football game or what all this. He said to cry loud, show my people their sins. And the house of Jacob, their transgression. In other words, I asked Brother Milby one time, I said, don't that mean just put your finger on, tell him what it is? He said, I think so. So when a man begins to name and to lay his finger on sin, don't get mad at him. Get mad at yourself for doing it, or get mad for God, at God for calling. Amen. I might have been better off if I'd just stayed at the house tonight, but I told Oscar, I want to read about 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want to read two verses there to start off. I'm not going to preach here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and I want to read two verses. And if you'll read this whole chapter in the light of these two verses, it'll explain itself. Now listen. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. That Paul said, you follow me. Whatever I'm doing, you do it. What I say, you say it. Amen. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all the ordinances, remember me in all the things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them unto you. Now, Paul was telling him when he began to write this letter, what I'm fixing to write to you, I want you to live by. I'm sending you some instruction, amen, on how to walk, how to talk, how to dress, how to treat one another, how to love one another, and you keep them as I deliver them unto you. He didn't say if you have conviction. He just plain said, do it.
Right.
Jesus' mother said one time, when they're talking about putting them, filling them pots up with water, ain't God that he's going to turn them to wine? Amen. You know what his mother said? Well, if you got any conviction, I want you to do what he said. No, ain't what he said. She said, whatsoever he bids you to do, that do. Amen. Don't get off somewhere and say, God, I don't think you meant that. I'm going to change it or turn the Bible over here and find me a little place that'll justify me. No, sirree. He said to keep all the ordinances as I deliver them unto you. When God said for a man not to have long hair, ain't God he meant for you to do just what he said.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord help. Oscar, you about got me stirred up this morning. Amen. I was already kind of stirred up from yesterday. I don't know, I really felt good in body yesterday. And I almost just preached. Amen. I'll just be honest about it. I just almost preached. I got in there and when it began to, amen, to lay out how they're going to run the service. And Amy said, three of you preachers, and said, Vaughn was going to take it out to Walker Chapel Cemetery. And said, it's good, whichever one takes the first part and the second one. On the other, said, you two preachers decide that. I looked over at that other preacher and I told him, I said, well, I'll just take the first part. I said, if I take the last the way I'm feeling, we'll be here when the sun goes down. Amen. But if I know then what I know now, I took the last part. I bless your heart. Amen. I'm telling you right now, ever since I went to Brother Oscar's daddy's funeral, amen, my mind has changed about funerals. Thank God, I believe we need to go back to the old time way. Thank God, when you get there, ain't God just preach a funeral. Hallelujah. I want to read these here verses of scripture. I read them yesterday at the funeral, then I might just preach a while on them. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, to everything there is a season, ain't God, and a time to every purpose under the sun. Now you listen, a time to be born, and a time to die. And God had a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Amen. I might just go ahead and preach this tonight. Just like I was preaching at a funeral. I bless your heart. Ain't God on the heart of which way to go. But I do know. Ain't God, I'm just going to say it just like it is. I went down to the hospital last Thursday when Brother Earl, just before it got down there before they pulled all that equipment off of him. Then after they pulled it off, I went back there where he was. And I stayed back there, and I finally just got wore out and said, well, I'm just going to have a few minutes after we left, he died. But here's the part that I want to get at. The doctor said that he was already brain dead. Hey, man, the body had the oxygen on him, and he was fighting so hard. Hey, man, to keep oxygen. He was shaking a bed. He sat so hard. Amen. I stood there and I could have preached to that crowd in that family. I could have preached to them so easy. That's just like your flesh and mine. Amen. When you're lost and undone without God, you know what? Your flesh is a fighting God for all it it was.
Yeah.
And he realized that you must die, you must be crucified, you must be put to death. And God, you, as long as you're alive, you cannot please God. You've got to die to your wants, to your wishes, and your desires, your ideas, and your opinions, everything about you has got to die. But this old flesh, it's going to fight a fight. It's going to fight. Amen. He'll draw his feet up, and you see his hands move, and trying his best to get it. And I thought that's just like James was in 1975. Amen. I was a fighting with everything I had. And God even told God, I show you how dumb I was. I even told God, go off and leave me alone. I don't want nothing to do with you. But bless his name, he didn't go. He stayed. I kept fighting. But one day, it got more than I could handle. And the oxygen was cut off.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I come here walking, perfect health, but I died.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I believe the altar was straight back then. I believe this had been redone. But I right along right there, I died.
Thank you, Lord.
I remember Brother Joe Willie Duke. He didn't bring the Bible down there with Romans 10, 9, and 10. Matter of fact, he didn't even have the Bible with him. I remember him coming down, kneeling down beside me. Amen. Put his arm on my back and he slapped me so hard, thought he was going to drive me plumb on that bank. He said, "Pray, boy. God will hear you." Amen. You know what an encouragement that was. Thank God if you'd have started trying to read the Roman road, I'd have got up and walked out and just got away from them. Well, they weren't no sisters that back then. Thank God they let sinners pray until they made things right. Over there yesterday. Thank God when I got through with the funeral, I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to walk out and look at Joe Willis Cemetery headstone. Amen. I want to see it." I went out there and looked at it and looked at the date of his death. Thank God in October. Thank God, I remember exactly the day, but it was in 1977. About 1 year after. Thank God I started preaching. He passed away. God bless your heart, and I remember. I'm going to get to the funeral. Men, I'm just preaching about dying now. Amen. I remember him. I announced my calling. I standing right along here when I announced my calling to preach. And he come by where I was at. I finger about that long and stuck it right between my eyes. He said, "Boy, if you're gonna preach, you ready." Amen. Thank God for somebody that'll give instruction. Amen. Now you take somebody to do them that way, they'd run off and hide. Amen. We ain't got enough. The grace of God in us, I'll let us stand when the Word of God's been preached. I climb down our road. Thank God we want to hush. I'll go up the road. Help us all. We don't want no real hard preaching, straight preaching anymore.
Oh, James. Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless your heart. I appreciate them old preachers. Amen.
Yes,
you might not know it. That man was my hero. Amen. I like Brother Irvin. I like Brother Howard. But there was something about Joe Willie Fugit. Amen. By the Bible talking about how Peter and John, they perceived that they was ignorant and unlearned, but they could tell that they had been with the Lord. Amen. Every time I think of Joel, well, if you could, I think of that scripture. He was, we know it as normal. He was ignorant and he was unlearned. Yes, some of y'all remember when he'd start to read the Bible. It'd take him, seem like, 5 minutes to read one little verse. Say one word and then move, say another word. But when he got through, he'd close his book, and he always had a saying, "Dear people," then he'd cut loose. I remember standing right, him standing right here, one Sunday night. Thank God in 1976. Thank God. Hallelujah. He said, "Dear people, I saw something this evening, thank God, that I didn't think I'd ever see." He said, "I went to the funeral home and said the women come in there with their pantsuits on, 1976. And he said, "Dear people, it won't be many years until they'll be coming through them doors." Amen. I bless your heart. I wish we had some more ignorant and unlearned preachers that had the touch of God on them that would preach of the Word of God again. Take that sword and slay us and let us realize. Amen.
Yes, sir.
God didn't say nowhere to live by your conviction. Yo, we better live by our conviction.
Amen.
Live by every word of God.
Amen.
He didn't say I was going to be judged by my convictions.
Uh-uh.
He said, "The words that I have spoken unto you, they shall judge you in the last day."
Amen.
There's a lot of people, Don, and I believe in conviction. If you got them, hold with them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But I'm telling you right now, God on judgment day, there's lots of folks that knows what this Bible said. Amen. And they dug them up a little scripture somewhere how to justify their self. Hey, God, they right do it here. Might shout and run the aisles. Might turn cartwheels. Amen. Speak in tongues. And do everything else. But when it comes to judgment day, and God open this book, he ain't going to say, "Well, how do you feel about this? Or how do you feel about that? Or did you find a way around that?" No, sir. He's going to judge you. When he said it, thank God he's going to judge us by it. Hallelujah. We better realize that this book is a roadmap. It's an instruction. It don't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Hallelujah. We better be like God. I told John, eat the little book. It'll be sweet in your mouth. But bitter in your stomach. You mind if I pray? Amen. Bitter in your stomach. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, it takes some rough medicine sometime to help you in this life.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're going to have to die.
Right.
That's the hardest thing that you ever done. Don, when I stand there watching her, doctor told him when they pulled it off at 9:30, said it could be anywhere from now to however how long. I think he went till about 5 minutes after 12. I left just a few minutes after 11. But me and my wife stood there an hour, hour and a half, I guess. He was a fight. He was a fight. This body was a fight.
Yes, sir.
You know that's the way sinners are.
Right.
They're just waiting on somebody. If he had a mind, and you could have given him anything, and told him that he'd give back his life, he'd have reached and grabbed it if you got a hold of it.
Sure.
I heard them tell about one time a man that drowned. They drug, and finally found his body. And when they pulled him up and had him up on bank, he had his hand closed and said they couldn't hardly, they almost had to break his fingers to get it open. Got it open, had a little old straw in it. He was grabbing for everything he could to keep from drowning. Latched onto that straw. You know that's what's happening to folks today.
Amen.
They get under conviction. Here come one of them idiots with a new book. Amen. And go down the Roman road. They'll read and grab that. And think they've got eternal life. They'll tell you don't let the devil or nobody else tell you you ain't saved. Amen. The devil will tell you right then you are. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I bless your heart. It's not my job to tell you when you're saved. Hey, God, it's just my job to preach the Word of God. Let God show you where you are.
Yes, sir.
Now, if a dead man could talk, laying right here, I believe in Luke 16, we got both sides of it. I don't know what they done with Lazarus. You don't say anything about his grave. I heard, read the history was, they took him outside of town, just stowed him in that dump place where they burned all the garbage. But let's just say they had his funeral. Had him laying right here in a coffin. And the man would get up to speak over him, walk down to him, said, I want to ask you a question. Said, I'm fixing to preach your funeral. What do you want me to preach? And if Lazarus look up and say, I believe I can tell you exactly what he said. Preach to the lost. Amen. Preach to the lost.
Yes,
amen. He done have peace. Thank God. Of that paradise. Thank God he wanted everybody else how to come that way too. Hallelujah. You just say, what would you do? Amen. I believe him down there. I could hear him in Abraham's bosom. How they're coming back. He would say, preach to the law. Preach to the law. This is a good place of rest. This is a place. Hey, I waited at that gate. I desired to be fed for the crumbs. I had sores. The dogs licked on me. But after I departed from this body, God bless your heart. He said, I got into paradise. He said, tell. Thank God the lost people. And they hear away. Thank God it is Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, He is the door. Hallelujah, He's everything that we need.
Yes, sir, amen.
Amen.
If a dead could talk,
be something, wouldn't it?
I just wonder, the day they buried your daddy, if you could just raise up and ask him, Dad, what do you want to preach? I believe then you both know him. Preach to the lost!
Yes, sir. Just what they do.
So after they got through preaching his funeral, you really can't preach nobody's funeral.
They lived it.
All you've got is a testimony. Oh, I have your testimony. I can't get up and preach you in heaven because I just got your testimony.
Amen. Amen.
That's all you got of me. But you know enough about me. Whenever you see me, you don't see me in everything in the world. Twice since I've been preaching,
watched in Birmingham, but when their daddy, wife Denny died, they's up all told, probably 15 or 20 boys and girls and grandkids, and I mean, this church probably wouldn't hold them all, but they're all in the room. When he was a-fighting for everything he had, I standing back over in the corner, let the family get over next to him. Had a pair of overhauls on, just like a preacher on Wednesday night, and shirt, just standing on our cheek in my mouth. So this old colored nurse come in there to give him a shot or get some blood or something other than I hadn't opened my mouth, hadn't said a word. She done whatever she done. She come by me, said, "You's the preacher, ain't you?" I hadn't opened my mouth. I said, "Yes, ma'am." Directly, my wife's sister, the one that died with that bad brain aneurysm, ain't got one of them nurses come in there and said, "You want us to go get the chaplain to come in here and pray?" And I like what my wife's sister said in her law. She said, "No! So we got somebody standing right over here who can do it." Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, thanks be unto God. I don't know what it is, but it'll get people's attention if you'll do right. One time up in, thank God, Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Thank God, when you stay in that old motel over in the town, thank God, there was a Shell service station right out there on the corner, and I got up. Monday evening, fixing to go. Thank God, the camp meeting over about 15 miles. Thank God, I pulled up there and started pumping gas. And there was a colored fella pulled on the other side of that pump. He started pumping gas. I wasn't saying a word. I was just pumping gas. He stuck his head around that. He said, "You's a preacher, ain't you?" I said, "Yes, sir, I sure am." He said, "Where do you preach at?" I said, "Anywhere the door's open." I said, "Matter of fact, while you're here," I said, "we're having a camp meeting about 15 miles yonder. Sure would like to see you come." Oh, I was headed back to Chicago or somewhere. I ain't got time to go. Amen. But I did testify to it. Amen. We ought to have a light about us that the world can see. I know you can't tell everything, but you can tell a little bit.
Amen. Amen.
Now about Brother Lazarus. No, he had a good testimony. Now let's just preach the rich man's funeral.
Yeah.
Him laying there in that casket. Walk up to him. Say, "I want to ask you a question. We're fixing to preach your funeral. And what do you want us to preach?" And I think if he could talk, he wouldn't have held his voice down low to be whispered.
Right.
"Preach to the Lord."
Yes, sir.
He said, "I got five brethren. It's fixing to go to hell. And I want you to warn them. Amen. I've got friends. I've got neighbors. Everybody I've done business with is lost. I preach to them. Unless they also come to this place of fire."
Yes, sir.
I mean, that got on me Friday. Preacher out of North Carolina phoned me. Hadn't talked to him in a long time. And he phoned me, and we're just conversing backwards and forth. And we got to talking. And that popped in my mind. If a dead man could talk, I'm telling you right now, if that man, if that man could talk, I'll be bound to bet you that man was laying there. Hey, man. While the man was approaching his funeral, warning him about going to hell. Hey, man, tell him the way to heaven. Thank God, I just about hear that dead man if he could talk. I say, "Amen, preacher."
Yeah.
"Amen, preacher. I bless your heart." I told my wife, I said, "When I die, If you can't find somebody to preach at my funeral, just roll me down there and bury me and forget it all.
Yeah.
I want somebody to forget if they ever know me. Ain't got me in territory. Ain't done about agreeing with me. Ain't got a thing die first. Ain't going to be supposed to preach my funeral. If he die first, I'm going to preach it. And if I do, I so help me handle God give it to me. I'm not going to say much about him, but I'm going to tell my lost people that he's got it made. And if you don't get right, you're going to hell.
Amen.
Yep, you can roll a rock on your sins and cover them all you want to. But God can roll that rock in a hurry.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you don't have to. He can see through it.
Amen.
We better learn to take that book for what it says.
Amen.
When if you die in your sin, you're going to hell.
Right.
If you die under the blood, you'll go to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what God said was sin is still sin.
Amen.
I preached one time. I'll not call his name. He's dead and gone now. But I preached for him one Sunday night. And I preached on the 17 works of the flesh. You don't preach on them too much around people. You make them mad.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember we're standing back there at the door shaking hands. And he looked over at me before the people got back there and he said, I don't believe people ought to name sin. After I just got through preaching, I looked at him and smiled. I said, I don't see why not. God did. And I both preach what he said. I bless your heart. Ain't done to God. God said, adultery, fornication, all the last cities, all, he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can draw your big X on the wall, amen, and say that's true. You can take it to the bank.
Amen.
That's just part of it. And he said, and such like. Not all there, you can go back. They ain't more than just them 17. Hey, man, you go to Corinthians, there's a bunch of them too.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Me and a preacher over in Georgia a few weeks back, I got to interchange and talking with him. He ain't talked to me since. Almost must have kind of made him mad. I don't know. Hey, man. Thanks be unto God because his grandpa, hey, man, had married. Ain't got a woman that had a living husband. Hey, man. His grandpa's mother, his wife died, and he married a woman that had a living husband. But before she married, he went to him. He said, Grandpa, I found out she's got a living husband. You better leave her alone. Thanks be unto God. And you know what that man said? And I preached for her many a time before that. Amen. Hey, God, he said, it's done too far now. Done gone too far. He said, no, you ain't. You ain't never said I do. Amen. Thank God, I was talking to him about it here a while back. And he dried up on me real quick. I said, I figured out myself. Well, he figured he trying to justify old grandpa. But that ain't going to help on the day of judgment. He's not going to judge him. According to what he thought, he's going to judge him. Grandpa no better. Well, Grandpa, I heard him preach again there.
Amen.
But if you could preach, dead man could talk. That right there would preach anymore.
Yeah.
If a dead man could talk. You go over there and walk through Walker's Chapel Cemetery, and from grave to grave, and could call them up and ask them, if you had this to go over again, what would you want the preacher to preach at your funeral? I'd say 100% of them would say, preach to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If they're saved, they done got know what it's like. And if they're lost, they know what it's like.
Yes, sir.
And if they're saved, they know how they get there. And if they lost, they know how they got there.
Sure.
So us, as preachers, many more special. I ain't preached many funerals here in the last few years. I can just about figure out the reason why. Hey, man, we just need to haul off and warn people. Thank God that warned unto a man once to die. And after that, the judgment. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Thank God that after death, there is a judgment. Thank God, and you're going to give an account for every deed that's done in this body. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. And God said it. Don't go ask somebody else what they think about it. God done told you what he thought about it.
Amen.
Well, I guess I better just hush, but if the dead could talk, I don't know, Don, what's in people's mind.
Right, amen.
How do you, what do we, are we thinking when we know that we're going to die?
Right.
And I'm closer to it today than I was yesterday.
Amen.
Sure.
I'm in this body. I know how, I know what it is. It ain't got much longer. I know it. So I'm going to try my best. Hey, God, while I'm living, if somebody else won't do it, I'll do it myself. Don't die lost.
Amen.
Amen.
Last message that Raymond Cook preached, that's what it was. He was in the church. Whatever happened to him that day, him and his grandson were sitting there on the front bank. Whatever happened to him, his grandson got him up, started out the side door of the church, cardinal to the hospital, and his grandson said, Jesse got on the outside the door, said, Paul said, stop. And said he stopped, turned around and opened a door, stepped back in the church, and said he hollered real loud, don't die lost! Turned and walked out the door, went to the hospital. Next place he went was to the funeral home. Amen. That's what we need today. Thank God the Bible said, how to search yourself. I see if you be in the faith. Amen. Try yourself. Amen. Take this book. Thank God, don't try me. Try you. And see if you are ready. How to meet God.
Amen.
Brother Cletus Neesmith, one of his daughters, said the last words he said just before he died was, I'm fixing to find out if what I preached all these years is right. I believe he did.
Yeah.
I went to see him just a few days. Me and my wife did. I spent a good few hours, several hours with him at home. Him in there at his house. He had the oxygen on, wasn't able to get up out of the chair. Amen. But every time we start talking about something, he'd wind up preaching. And God start talking about something, he'd wind back off on preaching. Amen. When I left there, he was still preaching. I bless your heart. Thank God when he get a preacher just can't help but preach. Thank God, Brother Milburn asked me one time, I was talking here a while back. He said, don't ask your question. How long can you go in the church house, a service after service, and just sit on that bench and keep your mouth shut and not say a word? I said, I can't do it very long. Amen. I'll explode. I'll preach if I have to do it to have. Amen. It's just put in in there. It ain't something that I picked up. It's something God put in me. Amen. I remember right here at this church before I announced my calling. I had a revival here. Terry Pace was a preaching it. And my Uncle Fred Burns, he's dead and gone now. But he was sitting right back under. And I stood up and testified. Amen, girl. A while. Thank God, in a few days I went to see him up in Menlo, Georgia. Thank God he heard it. I announced my calling to preach. He said, I know that night that you was, but I wasn't going to tell you. Amen. I mean, it's just something. God puts, you got to care for people.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to close. That young man down here at Fort Payne last week before last, whatever it was, when he robbed that old curb market that I done got that beer, within 5 minutes, I'd say, he was in hell when he went into that building. Killed him. I don't know where they buried him, why they burned him, buried him, what. But if they'd have had his funeral, and they could have talked to him and asked him, what do you want us to preach? I believe with all my heart, Micah, he'd say, preach to the Lord.
Amen.
Preach to the Lord. You know, that wasn't very long from down at that First Street Curb Market to the old Quinn Hotel. What, 5 or 6, 7, 8 blocks? And they say we're driving real fast. So I'd say within 5 minutes or less, from the time he left that curb market, he was in the flames of hell. Mm-hmm. I'd say right now he would say, preach to them people. And if I could get out of here and I could get to the house of God, I'd want to find a place where somebody would tell me I'm repent or perish.
Amen.
I've done told you here before, but I'm going to tell it again. Thank God it's hard to hush when you get started. But about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was sitting there one Saturday night in the phone room. It was on, done after dark. And this woman asked me, say, are you Sheriff Shaver? I said, no, ma'am. I said, my name's Shaver, but my jail's the sheriff, and I ain't sheriff. I ain't no kin to him. She said, well, what? I won't talk to the sheriff, but while I'm here, I'll just tell you my problem. And I just sat there and listened to her. She lived right down, not right in front of the courthouse. I looked her name up. It was on caller ID. And I looked her name up and looked at an address. That was right down on River Street or whatever it is, right straight from the courthouse down there. She said, there's men upon this floor making dope and I can't get them out. Said, I call the sheriff and I call the dope people and call them and they come down here and they won't do nothing. They're on there making dope. So, you know, I know exactly what the problem was. She's demon possessed.
Amen.
She said, I even got somebody to nail up the hole when you go under the floor. Amen. And said, they're still getting on the house. She said, they're coming up through the walls. And since I don't know what to do. And then I proceeded to tell her what to do. I said, it was on Saturday night. I said, in the morning you get up. You find you a church house. Or some old man of God. I'll roll up his shirt sleeve. And preach fire and brimstone. I get on your face and repent. I get right with God. I go home and lay down in the middle of the floor. I said and begin to pray at the top of your voice and beat that floor with your fist. I said, I'll guarantee you, you'll get rid of them type of house.
Amen, sir.
You know what she said? I thank you for the advice. I got the pleasure out of telling her.
I forgot her name now. Meant to write. I meant what I meant to do was go over and get Sheriff, and get him, and me and him go to her house. And I want to do some straight preaching while he was standing there. Do some straight preaching to her. Amen. But I messed around, and, you know, phone had a while. They'll get enough on her to push them off. Now I done forgot who she was. But if you could get the lost to talk, I'll guarantee you every one of them would say, preach to the lost.
Yes.
Saved or lost would tell you to preach the lost.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, God bless you. Zap, at this time we'll turn it back to off. I done got deep enough trouble all